So we're going to be looking at the second epistle of Peter and briefly run through it through the passage which we read. And Peter, very close followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they went with the Lord Jesus Christ practically everywhere. There were times when there was only Peter with the Lord Jesus. There were times when Peter and John with the Lord Jesus Christ without the rest of the disciple. And there were times when Peter, James and John were with him and not the rest of the disciple. So he was a really close followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took a deep interest in what Jesus said and made it his very personal himself. Remember, he said he's the one who identified the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that he was the one, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we have here something about Peter. But here he described himself as a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he said, and he writing to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's writing to those who have received something from God. And we're looking at, first of all, the God's provision for the believers. God's provision for the Christians. So what has the Apostle Peter received? It himself and also other Christians which have received it. Well, he tells us, doesn't he? They receive a gift of precious faith. Precious faith, which causes our hearts and our minds to believe in the triune God. It helps us to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It helps us to understand his nature and his being. And we receive that as a gift from God himself. So the Latin is written to those who have received this gift of faith. That's precious faith, which the Apostle Peter is talking about. So it is by faith, as we look at Hebrews, also it is by faith, we realize it's God who made and created the universe. And he controls every aspect of its running. And I'm always amazed when someone comes to me and explains to me how vast the universe is. Then when they stop telling me about that, when they say, well, it's bigger than it was before, because it keeps on increasing and increasing. God's creative power is continuing to work. We accept that by faith. Okay? That is not the world except. And that's a distinction between the society, between the Christian and those who are not believers. We believe by faith that God made the world, created the universe, and as written and recorded according to Genesis. So this is a very clear to us. And faith also enable us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe in him to be what we call a sin bearer. And he came into a sinful world in order to bear the punishment of our sins and rise again on the third day. Without this gift of faith which God has given to us, it would not make any sense. It would not help us to understand what God has done. It is by faith we accept that God has done that to us and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews say that if you don't have that faith which comes from God, and if you don't have that, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, no matter what your ambitions are, no matter how sincere you are, without that faith, you cannot please God. And don't we see many people today working their socks off in order to please God? They do good work. They give a lot of money to charity. They try to be ambitious for many things. And they think by doing good deeds, it gives them a passport into heaven, and they will be entered into the presence of God. But the scripture tells us, unless you have faith in the true and the living God, there's absolutely nil chance of you getting into heaven and into God's presence. So it's not faith which is something which we can work ourselves up to. It's not something which generates, we can do something, generate, but faith is something if you don't have, you can ask God. Isn't that a great promise from God that if anyone lacks faith, they come to God and ask Him for it, and God promised that He will give it to you. That promise is open for us. So the first thing we've seen, or first thing recorded here for us, that God's gift to us, His precious faith. And the other thing we have is God's gift to us is righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' precious righteousness. And we are told that there is not a single person in this world living today or have lived in the past apart from the Lord Jesus who is righteous. Okay, you can walk down the street, no matter how pleasant they are, no matter how good they are, no matter what they do, what their jobs are, what status they're in the society, whether they're prime ministers or whether they are whatever status they have in society, no one is righteous. No one is righteous. So as you can see, many houses, many towns, there is no shock to you. There's no person righteous living in Ashford. Isn't that a shock? I found that quite a shock myself. I'll tell you something else. Brixton's no better. Brixton's no better. There's not a single righteous person who is living in Brixton or Ashford. So we define righteous person who's living completely and perfectly in line with the scripture. One who keeps all the commandments. One who never told a lie in their life. The one who being obedient to their parents, and the one who not looked upon another man or a woman in a lustful way. Is there another human being who could do that? The Lord Jesus did. He was the righteous person. And as we think about this, we see that Lord has given to us, according to the passage we read, righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man who did no wrong. He never sinned. He never told a lie. He never did anything wrong. He was obedient to God as God was his father. He was obedient in every way. So he conformed to the law. He was obedient to the law. All the good things, all the obedience which the Lord Jesus did, he gives it to you. He imputes you. He covers you with his own righteousness. So when God looks upon us this evening, he doesn't see this my sin, because we're covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm completely covered on head to feet as I enter into the presence of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to pray. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to go to God, because you will be and I will be a sinful being, because God himself is holy and righteous. So he's given us faith to believe. God has given to us the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has also given to us provisions for this life and the life to come. Look at verse 2-4. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. We have most generous, exceedingly generous God, and he provides for us all things, he says, that pertains to life and godliness. And isn't that wonderful for us to understand that? That everything you need to live a Christian and a holy life, God has already provided for you. He has given it to you. This is, so whatever we need, God has provided for each one of us. We've been singing, have we not? That great is thy faithfulness, and all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Thy hand hath provided. What a great promise for us as Christian believers. I know there are places in the world which are Christian believers have to suffer. There are Christian believers who go hungry. There are Christian believers who have to work hard to sustain their Christian life. But God gives them extra strength. God gives them that what they need in their own circumstances. So God has also provided for them too. So God has given to us his faith. God has given to us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has also given to us all things which we need for this life. So what is the purpose for us as a Christians? God's purpose for every Christian believer, when they are born of God's Spirit, when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they become children of God and they are babes in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are babies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know they need extra help when the baby's in Christ? But it'd be strange if you just had babies and they didn't grow. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? That'd be something you know there's something wrong if you have a child 3 months, 6 months, 2 years later, he's still the same size and the same weight. You know there was something wrong. And same with the Christian faith. It's the same thing we have to do. God wants Christian believers not to remain as babes in Christ, but to be mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're told in 2 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led astray with the errors of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. God wants us, every Christian, no matter whether you're Christian 2 months, 2 years, or 20 years, or 40 years, God wants each person to grow, to be mature. And he wants us to grow in grace, first of all, and secondly, growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we understand about growing in grace? How does a person grow as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we do it? Do we do anything ourselves? And the Apostle Peter here gives us the eight characteristics which we need to understand. Verse 5-8 is, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Describe us in these verses how we as Christians are to grow, that means how we are to live as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. These qualities, as we notice, it begins with faith and it ends with love. So we got in between things as well. The thing which he add to your faith, first of all, it says virtue. And I think my understanding is, it's somebody who is morally upright, morally excellent, morally righteous in their character. And how they behave in the society, in their home, and how they relate to others, morally upright. And that's what God wants us as believers to be. Do you know, we have testimonies, don't we? We have testimony of people who come to faith. Then you say, well, what difference the Lord Jesus Christ has made to your life? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? As a Christian, how are you different now to what you were before? But if your life continues to be the same as before, worldly, not behaving properly, and not speaking properly, if it still continues to be the same, then you question, don't you, whether you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. There need to be transformation. There need to be change. There need to be a big impact upon the life of somebody who has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So virtue is that moral excellence. And then he says knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is not just head knowledge. It's not just something which you learn in a good book, through the Bible and theology. All these things are good. They're excellent. But it's not just head knowledge. It's experiential knowledge of God in your life. How the Lord Jesus Christ, what he means to you. How he changed your life. And it's a personal, biblical-based, experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's something we need to be working on. And self-control. This is being self-disciplined, how our behavior is toward others and toward other Christians. Don't you find it quite difficult from the New Testament time? There were a couple of women who didn't speak to other. They didn't get on. And same thing could be happening in a local church, in a local community. You have brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't speak to other. And we have to not to gossip. We need to have a self-control. We have to guard our tongues. We have to build each other instead up in love and faith. Perseverance. How do we react when the situation and circumstances change? I shared with you about a situation about Little Hill that some of our brothers and sisters gone to be with the Lord. And how do people react to when they have gone? And how do we carry on with the hope that is in us? So we are to be like this. We have to respond when the things don't go our way in a very positive way. And so we have to do that. And we have to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we're told in here, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to the blindness and has forgotten that he has cleansed from his old sin. So if you don't want to be short-sighted, Do these things, add these things to your faith, add these things, what God is actually saying. But God is also saying that if you do these things, in verse 5 and 6, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control the perseverance and to perseverance godliness. Therefore, in verse 7, 10, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will not and never stumble. By doing these things, you're making sure that you are following the Lord, that you won't stumble, that you're going to make an election sure. So we need to add to our faith these things, these characteristics which the Apostle Peter is talking about here. So we need to add these virtues or graces, as somebody says, so we don't trip over, so we don't stumble, and also an entrance will be provided to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's what happens when we leave this world. I remember the account of Stephen martyred, when Stephen was martyred. He went and he was stoned to death. He was gave his life for the sake of the gospel. He left this world, and waiting there was the Lord Jesus. He was waiting for him, and he was making an entrance into heaven. And I think every believer has an entrance into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for them. He welcomed them into his own place, and place he has prepared for them. Place where there's no suffering, no pain, and nothing bad. And I think Jonathan Edwards described heaven is a place, a world of love. And you're surrounded by people who've been cleansed from sin. There's nothing wrong with them. And they will not think bad about you. They won't do anything bad themselves. They will be holy and pure as God intended us to be. But we shall be in the presence of the living God. So we need to thank God for the gift of for the righteousness of Lord Jesus Christ and those great and precious promises. But we also need to work, add to your faith these things, so you get more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.